Hey, y'all. Welcome back to Erase the State. Maddie K here yet again without Mikey Two Names, who is missing. Maybe he'll join us later this evening. I don't have any fucking clue. But we do have a very special guest, a Childerburger, although not Chili Dose, but definitely the first and original and best Childerburg, or so I've been told. My savior of the night, or attempted savior of that night, the one and only Miss Anna Adams. Anna, how are you?
Hello. I'm good. How are you?
I am fantastic. You were unwell yesterday, but I think you're well today, or well-ish. So
yeah, I'm getting better. I had a stomach ulcer and a kidney infection, so I was not doing so hot.
And you're not drinking.
And yeah, that's why I'm not drinking, unfortunately. It's the only reason. I've been drunk for 6 months, which probably has absolutely nothing to do with my stomach ulcer.
No, I think that's keeping you safe from the Rona, if anything.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's a preventative measure.
Absolutely.
I don't want your grandma to die, so I'm drunk.
Perfect. So, Anna, I invited you here because you used to be a Democrat. Is that
yes.
Is that correct? Okay.
That is correct.
So, but now you are a garden-growing, mongoose-loving anarchist, right?
I'm on so many government watch lists now. It's probably scary, actually.
So you used to make the government watch list, but now you're on them.
Right.
I'm full circle.
Yeah.
So what, I guess, you know, without completely doxing yourself, can you give us a little bit about your background and kind of, you know, how you grew up to be the way that you were, and then tell us, you know, how you found liberty, I guess.
Oh, talk about my childhood. The parts of it.
It's always fun, right?
Yeah. So I've been weird most of my life. I was homeschooled starting in the sixth grade, which probably has a lot to do with how I ended up here. So when I was in the fifth grade, I was diagnosed with Tourette syndrome, which everybody immediately is like, oh, you're cursing and yada, yada. But there are different types of Tourette's. I wasn't cursing in class. I was just making a whole bunch of weird noises and basically was the class freak. So my parents ended up pulling me out of school just because A, I was a class freak. B, I was getting bullied. C, I was on medication. D, the teachers didn't know what to make of it or do with it. Mm-hmm. And I was just basically special needs. So I ended up being homeschooled from sixth grade onward. I did go to college. I went to a pretty liberal lefty school.
Okay.
But yeah, I grew up a Democrat. My parents are Democrats, left-wing, pretty like Bill Clinton, left-wing Democrats. The only reason I was homeschooled is because I had health issues.
Sure, sure.
Otherwise, I would have ended up going through like the full-scale government indoctrination all the way through high school. Okay. So it just kind of the luck of the draw that I ended up missing out.
So were your parents like true believers, or were they just sort of like your everyday average Democrat? Just, you know.
Kind of on the true believer side, okay. I would say. I don't know, they were like Bill Clinton Democrats, but at the same time, like very passionate about left-wing causes.
Okay.
At the time that I was growing up, like they were very anti-war and kind of like hippies almost.
Well, they were kind of like the good Democrats that somehow have vanished.
Yeah, well, they kind of turned into just normie, blue-pilled, basically what you would meet on the street today and consider and just a blue-pilled NPC.
Okay.
That's my Democrat parents now.
So, okay, so you go off to college and you're further indoctrinated.
Well,
you probably got the good
shit
at college.
Actually, not really. I didn't have a great time in college. I had a pretty bad time in college.
Okay.
Well, a lot of which had to do with like having been homeschooled, not really having, you know, I went to this state school where everybody kind of came from certain feeder high schools. So everybody, when I got there, already kind of had their clique. and I was once again kind of like the outcast weirdo. So I'm going to be honest, I put in the bare minimum amount of effort I possibly could to get a degree. So I didn't really go to class, if I'm being honest.
I completely understand.
I just took the easiest possible way through college to graduate with a degree. So I wouldn't say I really got very much of the indoctrination there.
Okay. So you weren't like protesting on the quad or anything?
Oh, no. No. Although I did vote for Obama while I was in college. I voted for Obama twice.
Okay.
Because of the hope and change. I was ready for the hope and change.
That's right. Did you get the hope and change you were dreaming for?
I got squash.
There you go.
I ended up being a gardener who hates the state.
There you go. So, okay. So you graduate college. Mm-hmm. And you go into the working world.
I graduated college. I moved overseas. I went to South Korea.
Okay.
For a few months. I was teaching English. And then I moved to Cambodia. I lived in Cambodia for 2 years almost. And I wasn't really tuned out. Like, I wasn't paying attention to U.S. politics very much at all while I was over there. This was, I want to say, like 2012 to 2014-ish.
Okay.
Around that time. So Barack Obama was rampaging all over the Middle East, and I was just kind of like aware of it, but also not really tuned into American media very much.
Sure.
So I wasn't seeing the way that they were kind of carrying water for him and all of that while I was overseas. But then I came back home and started paying attention to politics again. And I was like, wait a minute, why is nobody talking about all this shit? Like, he started an illegal war in Libya. Mm-hmm. Nobody gives a fuck. Like, where are all your anti-war Democrats that I remember from 2005? Like, yeah. why does nobody give a shit?
So how was that portrayed while you're overseas?
More just like the facts. Like, I guess I was just like seeing more of it, like, oh, this happened today and okay. The troops are doing this. It was just like being reported on more so rather than it. I guess what I heard from friends is in the American media, it just was just not even a thing. Like, oh, the tan suit is the biggest scandal Obama had, rather than like, oh, hey, he right. drone striked an American citizen.
Right.
You know?
Right. Okay. So so you get back and you're seeing all the bullshit going on and, or mm-hmm. just how things aren't being covered. Mm-hmm. So when do you start making your change?
During the 2016 election, I would say.
Was it just because of the general dumbfuckery of both sides?
Kind of. Well, so I just was getting progressively more angry about the Obama administration and the warmongering mm-hmm. and the lack of hope and change and the media bullshit. And then the nominees for the 2016 Democratic, I guess the two like main options to choose from were Hillary Clinton, a huge warmonger, mm-hmm. and Bernie Sanders, a huge fucking socialist.
Right.
And I wasn't really having it with either of those options, especially after living in Cambodia and seeing kind of the wreckage of socialism
sure.
and communism for 2 years, where like every person I met had a relative that had been killed by the communist regime. I was not super hyped about turning hard left towards socialism.
Gotcha.
So I wasn't really on the Bernie train, and I wasn't really on the Hillary train, and I definitely wasn't on the Trump train. So I was trainless. I didn't have a train. And I was just sitting there watching all the people getting on their stupid trains. Like, what the fuck's, why are you all being stupid?
Where's my fucking train?
Yeah, I want a train. I want to get on a train. I want a train ride. So, I don't know. I guess I was just kind of like watching from the sidelines for most of the 2016 election, kind of trying to figure out what the fuck to do. I started listening to some podcasts kind of from the Never Trump segment mm-hmm. of the right, and then I can't remember, I started just kind of like journeying rightward vaguely just through listening to podcasts. I think at a certain point I ended up at Ben Shapiro. I went through like a really horrifying like thin blue line phase, which I thoroughly regret.
I've been through all these, don't worry.
Yeah, and then I like turned, Ben Shapiro at a certain point turned me in a more libertarian direction, and then I think I ended up somehow, some way, somewhere at Joe Rogan talking to Dave Smith.
Okay.
And that was the point. Dave Smith talking about war really was the point that kind of like turned me into like, okay, I want to look into what this guy believes, because he's the only person I've heard talking about war on the level that it should be talked about.
Sure,
really,
sure.
Like on the level of moral outrage that it deserves. The only person I've heard who's like appropriately upset about what we're doing in the Middle East is Dave Smith. So I started looking into what he believed and kind of reading some things. And I guess I read Anatomy of the State, and then that was just it. It was over.
Nice. Okay.
It was over for me as a rational human being. I turned into an autistic libertarian.
Once the scales fall off your eyes, you can see clearly.
Yeah.
So
but all of this was like a year long journey, I think.
I guess in your progression, you like when all this started, what was the first thing that you let go of, if you remember?
Oh God. It was probably cultural stuff at the very, very beginning. Like the social justice warrior stuff was getting on my nerves. That was probably the very first stuff where I was like, no, fuck you with your like white privilege, like trying to get me to grovel for being white and
right.
all that kind of bullshit. Like that was just the political correctness kind of like just irritated me
to
the point
where
I couldn't toe the line anymore.
Were you into like the whole, you know, intersectionality SJW thing before that?
No. Not really. It just kind of got to the point where like all of my friends, my in real life circles, like I was working at a tech company in a very, very progressive area. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to name the city, but it was extremely, extremely progressive place. And basically everyone I knew was getting more and more into the intersectionality and social justice warrior world. And it was just really making me bonkers. I was like, I can't do this. I can't go with you guys on this because it's like the race obsession. I'm just not into it. I'm not interested in it.
Did you have anything that you sort of held near and dear from your, you know, just straight blue Democrat days that you had to let go of first?
That's a good question. I guess probably welfare, the welfare state.
Okay.
Would probably be the hardest thing.
So you still thought there should be some sort of public safety net, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That was kind of where I was economically, like pretty centrist, but just, I always kind of thought, well, you know, if somebody loses their job, there should just be a safety net, like just in case, like just long enough to get them back on their feet. Like what, without government, how would we help the poor people?
Right. You know?
So that kind of took a second to like get past that. Like, oh yeah, we can actually do that privately. That's fine.
So was that before or after your Dave Smith experience?
After. It was definitely after I started exploring like anarchy and figuring out free market solutions to these kinds of problems.
And so as you're progressing and you're reading more, if that was your first thing to go, what was the last thing that you let go of when you were like, okay, I'm a fucking anarchist now. Like this is like I've shed every bit of the state that I used to believe in. Like what was that last thing to go?
Definitely like the courts and the police, I think.
Okay.
I think the police were the very last thing to go.
That's interesting. Okay. So, I mean, it doesn't sound like you went through like this. You know, you used to believe whatever you believed when you were young, and then you were like a libertarian because all the cool kids were libertarian, and then you found anarchy. It's like you were just a fucking Democrat, and then like you didn't pay attention for a while, and then you're like, fuck this bullshit. I'm an anarchist.
Yeah, basically. I mean, basically, yeah. Essentially, it was a pretty quick transition. And then I transitioned pretty quickly from being an anarchist, an ANCAP type, to more of like, I just want to live in the woods, man.
Yeah. just leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah.
Can I just grow my fucking cucumbers, please?
Yeah, seriously. Like, just leave. You guys go have your race war in the city, and I'm just going to be out here in the woods growing some shit.
That's funny, though, because, I mean, so, you know, I came from the right, where I just either A, you know, I believe whatever my parents believe just because I was easy and I didn't really care when I was a kid, to where I thought I was an anarchist in high school, but I was still pretty much just like a Republican. Even through college, just didn't really care, but, you know, voted red, the occasional libertarian here and there, the occasional Democrat here and there, like for local shit. To when I started working like out of college, I was like, okay, well, I'm a libertarian. But then I started like identifying as like a conservatarian. I don't really remember like what that first piece of, you know, authority I had to let go of. But even through my progression, when I realized like, okay, I'm a fucking dipshit. Like this whole conservatarian bullshit, like that shit don't work. Like you're either a believer in liberty or you're a believer in the state. Like there's no real gray area there. And I'm a gray area type guy. But definitely for me to also was the cops. Like that was the very last thing. Cause I was still like, man, we got to, you know, they're out there protecting us and da da da. And I bought the whole thing, you know, hook, line and sinker. And then I realized like, holy fuck, like this is a major problem. And so that also was my last thing to go. But then once that went, like it was just, that was the cliff. Yeah. Like I was gone after that.
Yeah. I think same here. Yeah, just realizing that there are plenty of private solutions to policing. Like, we don't need this kind of, you know, militarized police force that we have. It's basically a standing army. Like, we don't need
it. It's the standing army that our founders warned us against.
Yeah. Yeah. If only someone had foreseen.
Yes. 250 years ago or so.
Right.
So, okay. So now you're a full-blown anarchist farmer. So, I mean, do you identify as like an ANCAP anymore, or are you just?
I'm not really, just a market anarchist.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
How does your family, do they know? Have you come out to your family yet?
No, not quite.
Oh, okay.
So I really don't know how that conversation is going to go or when it's going to happen. They know that I won't vote. They know that I like guns, which bothers them. That bothers them a lot. They know that I hate everyone. I think the guns thing like makes them suspect that I might be a Republican, but I've told them multiple times, like I've railed against Donald Trump and what the Republicans are doing. I'm trying to like come at them from the left and be like, you know, look at all these issues. Yeah, all these issues that you guys care about that the Democrats are fucking up.
Right.
See if I can kind of like slowly get to them that way. I don't know.
We'll see. They still don't really know. No.
No, they, yeah, no.
Okay. So do you have
mom and dad, I want to overthrow the government.
Yeah. Can a girl just not subvert the state for once, please? So what about like friends from that era? Did you have any friends left over from like pre homeschool or maybe during like neighbors, like during homeschool and college that were kind of where you were, but maybe don't know where you are now, or maybe they do?
Yeah. I still have some college friends, and like, I got drinks with one of my college roommates and her husband a week ago about, and it was nigh unbearable.
Really?
They're so normie, so orange man bad, Obama good. And it was like the whole conversation for 3 hours was just politics and how much they miss Obama and they love the state and they just wish that orange man would go away because he's bad. And so I was like, my blood pressure is rising. I'm sitting there like, oh, I got to keep my mouth shut. God, I can't say anything. But I think most of my friends from college are pretty much like that, just orange man bad.
Hard left, or at least just super normie on the left.
Just super normie, blue-pilled NPC, orange man bad, eating up everything the media says.
That's almost more frustrating.
Yeah. That's why I don't have a Facebook. I deleted my Facebook a while ago because I was just like, I don't feel like sharing my opinions with you people.
Yeah,
if you have my number, if you want to keep in touch, you can text me. I don't know.
I've got a Facebook that I pretty much use for, you know, like birthday calendar and shit like that. But I don't post on it. It's for family and for friends and the occasional coworker who I consider a friend. And now like Liberty people, which I hope some of my friends like see them on my page and like, ooh, who is this? But yeah, I don't post shit except for like the occasional, you know, like tax day meme with like Spooner or something or Minkin, and I just kind of, I'll leave it at that. So it's funny, like my, after the first Childerberg one, or yeah, so Childerberg one, not the first Childerberg one, just Childerberg one, which is still a blur for me. my mom and my dad came to the house to like visit, like right after that. They still live back home, like a couple hours away, but they came to stay for a little while, and they were like, oh, well, you know, you went, where'd you go? You were gone somewhere last week. I got to bleep that out now. My wife said, and, I was like, yeah, I was on this camping trip. And they were like, oh, well, who'd you go camping with? And I was like, oh, just, you know, some people I know from Twitter, like podcasters, just some like anarchist and libertarian, you know, podcasters and stuff. And she was like, anarchists and libertarians.
Like, that sounds terrifying.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, we don't really talk about politics anymore, except for when they set me up completely and like put the ball on the tee and I can just like hit a fucking standing home run. But like the other day, where did I say? We were talking about something, and I've gotten back on this, you know, I'm a Christian, right? So like I got back on this Christian podcast kick, and I had sent her some stuff, but I also listened to like Mike Meharry's stuff, and I listened to Anarcho-Christian and all this. And so I had sent her some things, and I had mentioned like in text message about like, that's why I'm an anarchist, at least, you know, when it comes to the state, not so much like on the spiritual side, you know, like I'm not a spiritual anarchist. I believe that God is my only like king, right? Or Jesus, or however you want to call it. And she's like, I don't really know what you mean. So like I sent her some podcasts, and she's like, okay, I'll listen and respond in due course. So I don't really know what she thinks, because that was like a month ago, and we've talked since then, and she was just like, oh, listen to this podcast. They were okay. Like, she didn't say anything more, so I don't really know where she's at, but
she's preparing an entire diatribe for you.
Probably. We're going on a family reunion little trip this weekend, so we'll see. But so my parents know, the rest of my family doesn't know that I'm just like full blown fuck the state anarchist. A lot of my friends know, but it's really, really awkward, because like my wife isn't quite there yet. So we still pay the Boy Scouts every year to like put up the flag for like all the flag holidays and shit. And I'm like, she'll be on the phone with like the fucking 10-year-old, like, oh, you know, can we come by again this year? And I'm like over there going, just don't fucking do it. Like giving her the fucking chop the neck sign, you know? So it's an interesting, we're a house divided, I guess you could say.
I feel like it might be easier for me to tell people in real life, like family and friends that I know that are normies. It might be easier if they weren't all left wing. Like they're all kind of like that, kind of on the SJW side, like politically correct side, where there's like one way to be a good person, and that is by believing what I believe politically. Right. Otherwise, you're kind of on the wrong side of history.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I don't think that I have, I don't know, family's family, so whatever, but I don't think that I have any friends that would like completely write me off if I told them I was an anarchist. I don't know. Like I said, the ones that I'm like really close to, like they fucking know. Like it's no big deal. One I haven't seen in like, oh my God, it's probably been 10 years. No, it's been like 12 or 15 years since I've seen him. And I ran into him at my best friend's wedding, which I think is a movie. but this was his second wedding, so it's like the sequel. And you know, we kind of like had a falling out back then, so we're like we're making up and all this, you know. And my friend's aunt hadn't seen me in a while, and she's like, oh man, that Matty K, you know, he's got such a radio voice. And my friend was like, well, he runs a fucking podcast, so he better. And my buddy was like, you have a podcast? And it's like, yeah. And he goes, dude, what is it? I'm like, I don't know if I should tell you. So we start talking about something else, like, and some conspiracy comes up, and I go, okay, dude, I gotta tell you all about my podcast because I think you're gonna be down. And so he knows now, and he was okay with it. We still talk.
He hasn't disowned you yet.
So right, right. But I think most of my friends are relatively understanding, just maybe from knowing me in high school. I don't know, because I was like I said, I thought I was an anarchist, but didn't really know what it meant. I was into punk rock and all that shit, you know, and going to punk shows and spiking my hair and wearing chucks and studded belts and getting in fights in the pit and all that. So everybody expects a little something different from me, I guess. I don't know. But I would recommend that you just fucking tell them if you have some close friends that you don't know, like, you know, that you haven't told yet, that are, I would just go with it. If it comes up, you know,
I probably should.
So that's my thing. Like,
rip the Band-Aid.
Yeah. But I never really offer it unless the conversation's kind of going in that direction, or they hit me with well, what do you think? And I'm like, well, actually.
Yeah. I usually just keep my mouth shut. That's my whole strategy, is I kind of make non-committal answers. Like when they're going off on their whatever tangents, I'll chime in every now and then with, oh, that's interesting. and then it makes it sound like I'm just okay with whatever's going on, and then they don't bother me. So
yeah, there you go.
That's how I do it.
So do you have any, IRL anarchist friends other than the ones that you've met at Chileville?
No, I do have one friend who kind of converted to libertarianism after I met her, but she was already on the way.
Okay.
I met her at work, but other than that, not really. I have one friend who's questionable. I don't really know what he believes. So he could be doing what I do, like just keeping his fucking mouth shut. But yeah, for the most part, everybody is just straight, like left-wing kind of Democrat, blue, or on the Trump train. I have some Trump friends.
Which honestly, like I think is almost worse, which sounds terrible, but I don't know. It's all terrible at this point. But it's like I can handle them, maybe just because I understand that a little bit more, because I came from the red side, you know. But like, so we just had this, my neighbor across the street, who I think is also a Democrat, but whatever, like most of the people in my neighborhood are Democrat, I'm pretty sure. They were like doing the whole mask thing, don't touch us, like we'll come to your house and hang out, but like we don't want to like handshake or hug or any of that. So I guess they're over that now, because we had his birthday party. And we're out on the driveway, and we have this old truck roll up with like kegs in the back. It's got taps on the outside. It's really awesome. And there's like 40 people in the driveway just fucking hanging out, doing what we do in this neighborhood, which is get drunk a lot. You should move here because it's right up your alley. And we see our very Democrat old lady neighbor walk out to get her trash can. And it's like the kind of Democrat where like, you know, keep Texas blue, even though it's not really blue, like vote Democrat and proud Texas Democrat. Like she has these bumper stickers like all over the Subaru, you know?
Yeah.
So she walks out and like a couple of people wave. She doesn't wave back. She goes back inside. And like the very next day, there's this post on the neighborhood Facebook page about like, hey, here's this link to the new stats in Texas and they're spiking and blah, blah, blah. And we still need to remember like to keep each other safe. And even though we're trying to have parties and have fun, we still need to maintain social distancing and everybody wear your mask. And remember, we got to keep each other safe and you don't want us to die because we're old. which I see more of that coming from like the left than I do from the right.
For sure. Yeah.
So I find like I said, the right, I think I understand a little bit more. Because there's still a little bit more of like that, fuck you, I'm not going to do what you told me to do mentality, I think. Where the left is just like, well, fuck, the state said to do it, so like we got to do it.
Yeah.
So I can't handle that as much.
Yeah, I find it easier to kind of hang out with and just chill with like conservatives or Trump people.
Yeah, yeah.
Like just because they're not as uptight about the politically correct shit, and you don't have to like constantly watch your mouth.
Right. Well, and you kind of know what you're going to get to, right? Like you expect like, okay, this guy's probably going to wear a MAGA hat. Like he voted for Trump. I know what the deal is. Like you know what you're going to get, where like with the fucking left wing social justice warrior, like who fucking knows what they're identifying as today?
Right.
I don't know what race they are today. So yeah, it's a curveball always.
I'm not woke enough to know when I'm going to say something that's going to be horribly offensive. And I never mean to be horribly offensive. Like, I don't want to upset anyone.
Right.
But also I just don't, you know, I'm also not going to apologize for making a fucking joke.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
I don't know. Get the stick out your ass.
Yeah. No, I'm still there. Jokes are still funny, even if people are offended at the joke.
Right.
So what would you recommend to people? Like, say your friend that you think is, maybe he's on his way to where you are. Maybe he's where you were a short time ago. What would you recommend to people like that, as far as, like, you know, would you recommend reading something, studying a podcast, or just something to, like, some piece of, like, a little nugget of knowledge to, like, chew on?
Probably just podcasts are how I got here. I would just be like, hey, have you heard Part of the Problem? Like, it's really funny. He's a comedian. He talks about current events and just from a different kind of perspective. Like, Part of the Problem is probably where I'd start for someone who still cares about the news and is still maybe open to new ideas.
All right. Well, anything else you'd like to tell the loyal listeners of Erase the State?
Can I do a shout out?
Dude, you can do shout outs. You can do all the plugs, whatever you want to do. I don't care. You can have an ad spot for something else completely different, whatever you want to do.
All right. I'm going to do a shout out to Steven at Mongoose 6 and tell him I can't wait to come destroy his property.
I don't even know if he listens, but I hope he does.
He better listen is all I have to say.
All right. So any plugs?
I'm still in Anarchist Garage. We don't record
super
regularly. We don't record that often, but I think we just did an episode. I think Eric and Rebel Without a Cause.
With a cause.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, my bad. Eric from Eric and Eric.
Yes. Eric Squared.
Yeah, they recorded recently. I'm not sure when that's going to be released, but
okay.
Yeah, Anarchist Garage on Twitter.
All right. Well, y'all know what to do. Like, share, subscribe. At Mongoose6, Steven, we're coming for you, motherfucker.
Better, get ready for your property and your private space to be destroyed. And I'm bringing baked goods.
Oh, that's nice. Well, we'll see y'all next week. Peace. Cross a 57 Chevy with a hillbilly band. Filled with one night stands. Take a tail helm fire with a gonzo steel. In a dark house space just to seal the deal. Yeah, top 40 country, better watch your back, cause this hot rod's faster than your Cadillac.